Up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from thee, O Lord. Praise God. Praise God. It's awesome to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And again, just remember to take a flyer for family seminar. When Brother Booker's flyers come out, just keep some with you. When you buy a jug of milk, when you buy a Whopper, a taco, whatever you do, you go sit down in a restaurant, just have one with you all the time. Just like the church cards you always carry with you. The most effective witness in the world is lifestyle evangelism. You just tell everybody that you have a connection with on a daily basis, and you'll be amazed at the people you touch in your life. Well, praise God. And there was mention made of the commitment forms. If you haven't gotten your commitment form yet, we did that Sunday before last and had a wonderful response. And it's summertime, so a lot of our church family's traveling. But there's a nice little computer-generated projection of what the new building's going to look like on the 3 acres right over here across the chain link fence. And appreciate Brother Dan making that available and the promotional team. And next Sunday is the 6th of August. It'll be the first Sunday of August. This will be our first building commitment offering that we'll receive, and we'll do that on the first of the month, every month from here on, and just something you can go the long distance with. That's what we're trying to do, and I appreciate those of you that have already signed on. It's a wonderful and a phenomenal response, and I'll talk to you a little bit about it after we actually take up that offering. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited not only because of the blessing that comes down on the church and on the individual that has that kind of relationship with God, but I'm excited about what it means for church and revival in this city. And it's going to be an awesome thing to see what God does here in the next 5 or 10 years. In the middle of a time when prophecy is being fulfilled on every hand, we are about the king's business. We are about the work of God. And where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. And this path grows brighter and brighter. And we move from faith to faith. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I don't want to hear a sad story about the kingdom of God. Let me tell you about a God that built his church upon a rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me tell you about a God that built his church on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Well, praise the Lord. And so we are blessed to be a part of this church, the greatest thing that's happening in the earth right now. You just wait about 5 minutes after the rapture. If you're happy about it now, you're really going to be happy about it then. Praise God. Praise God. When God closed the door of the ark, I'm sure those on the ark were really upset about what was happening outside to all the poor people that didn't get on the ark. But in the same breath, they were sure glad they were on the boat. They had a mixed feeling about it all. Well, praise God. This morning, we began to some work on Psalms 86, and let's continue there for a little bit. We'll take a text, the first four verses, and then we'll proceed to work on it. Some, we're doing a little expositional work in this chapter, making our way through the Old Testament, and we've got all the time in the dispensation. We're not worried at all about the time. We just want to draw close to God and hear what he has to say in his word. And everybody say amen. Would you say, bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Praise God. You can be seated. Free up your hands. Lift up your voice. Give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you and magnify you, O Lord. We thank you for your word. Immutable, unchanging, life-giving, powerful word of God. Praise God. Now, this morning we started working on this and just the fact that David, as is evidenced by his psalms and by his prayer, David has a winning attitude. David has an overcoming attitude. And this morning we drew some parallels between David's attitude and things that you find in modern secular works, such as Seven Habits of Highly Effective or Successful People. And he is proactive. He's not responding simply to the environment or the people around him. He's goal-oriented, or he has a vision in his life. And we find these things implicit in what David says throughout his prayers and his psalms. He has a winning attitude. And concerning everything in life, you really do need to get on the winning side of the proposition. You can always fall on either side of a topic, but as you approach it as a child of God, you need to get on the winning side of it. You need to get on the faith side of it. You need to get on the word side of it. There's always two sides to it. The devil started that in the garden. God said, look at all that you have. There is a stipulation. But look at all that you have. And when the devil came, he said, you can't have everything. And he was choking on the one thing you couldn't have. There's always two sides to it, but you better find yourself on God's side. You better find yourself on God's side. I say the glass is always half full. I say this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Well, praise God. How bad are things? They're not nearly as bad as you think, because God is in the middle of it. How bad are things? They're not nearly as bad as you think, because God is a delivering God. God's a restoring God. God is able. Come on, there's no lack to those that trust in him. Praise God. So we talked about David this morning, and he begins this psalm by just simply saying, I need God. He said, bow down your ear, God, and hear me. I'm poor and needy. And we talked about the fact that David killed bears. He killed lions. He killed giants. He was the king. He's the beginning of the throne of Christ. He's the psalmist. He's the prayer warrior. He is the consummate, the ultimate king of Israel. But when he comes before God, he has a great understanding of how things work. And he says, I'm just a shepherd boy here standing before the Lord. He said, I am poor and needy. No matter how much God blesses you, no matter how successful you get, no matter how mighty in prayer, how awesome in ministry, how powerful in family or the goodness of God in your life, don't ever lose sight of the fact that God is the fountainhead and God is the blessing. And when you come before God or when you're speaking to others, you're always poor and needy. David's got some understanding here. Well, praise God. It is in the pernicious nature of your flesh to rise up and take credit for something that God has done in your life. Praise God. No matter how great your success or your victory, I need God. Everybody say, I need God. Everybody look up to him and just say, I am poor and needy. I need you, God. Come on, I can't breathe without him. My heart doesn't beat without him. I couldn't see the next step without him. I don't want to walk tomorrow without him. Well, Preet, do you really feel like that? You get in trouble when you get large in your own eyes. You stay small in your own eyes. Praise God. I wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning if God wasn't on my side. Just pull the covers up over my head and just stay there. I don't want to do this without God. Praise God. Verse 2, David said, I'm holy. Some people would struggle with that. If you turn to your neighbor now, we had an exercise this morning where you stood up and you proclaimed that you were holy and you were righteous. And if you weren't here, you probably don't understand that. And I don't have time to explain it all to you. But if you're under the blood, you're holy and you're righteous. If you've been sanctified by the Spirit of the living God, you are holy and you are righteous. And you better know it because it's part of your identity. You need to step out with David and say, I'm holy because God made me holy. I'm righteous because God made me righteous. It's not by my strength and it's not because of how I was born or where I came from, but God has done this in my life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. So now I want you to, if it's true in your life, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and if you've been one of God's, you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm righteous and I'm holy. Praise God. Now, there's a lot of people that have a problem with that, but you better be righteous because none but the righteous are going to be saved. You better be holy because you got to be holy to get in on the other side. And I know it's a cover up. I know it's a cover-up. We're not talking about your strength or your righteousness. We're talking about his strength covering you. Praise God. But David came before God and said, God, you hear me now because I'm holy. And what he's doing, he's working the contract between himself and God. He's saying, now, Lord, you said it. Now do it. God, I came according to your process. Now do the thing that you've said. And he's working with God according to the process of God. And so he's not being arrogant or boastful. He said, God, hear me, because I am holy. Praise God. Oh, God, save your servant that trusts in you. God, I'm one of those down here that's working for you. I've been living for you. I've been fighting devils for you, God. Come on now. Hear me. Praise God. Do you pray like that? It's all right to pray like that. You need to step up in the middle of who you are because the devil's going to be walking along beside you in your prayer saying, you're nothing. You're weak. God doesn't hear you. It won't work. There's no reason for this faith. But you need to step up in the middle of that and talk to yourself. Say, God's going to hear me because I'm holy. God's going to help me because I'm righteous. By the power of his blood and by the power of his Spirit. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry to thee daily. Everybody say, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto you daily. My, how in the world somebody could think they could make it through a day without prayer and not cry unto God daily. It is amazing what can transpire in a day. It is amazing what can transpire in a day. I would not want to walk out of my house. I wouldn't want to walk out into this world without a covering of prayer over my life. Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. I just go back through the picture portfolio in my mind and in my past, and I can see a brother on his knee down by a creek side washing the blood off of a younger brother who's caught a bullet in the back of his head on a little simple hunting trip out into the fields behind their house. And we buried that brother, and I can see a mom standing at a gurney in a hospital room there in Baton Rouge, and her 11-year-old has been hit by a car just out riding his bike. And I can see in my mind's eye a little tiny pair of shoes sitting by a half empty swimming pool in the winter time in Louisiana, and that old pool is about half full of rain, water, and algae, and that little sweetheart couldn't get out of that pool. I'm telling you, one day can change your whole life. In one day, things can come down on you. Events can transpire that are beyond your physical reach and beyond your capacity to ever overcome them. One day can change your world. One day can turn your world upside down. I want to know at the end of the day, I want to know in the beginning when I'm starting out, I have done everything I can do. Let me tell you, when you've done all you can do, you can sleep through a storm. When you've done everything you know how to do, you can lay your head down and say, God, I've done all I can do. You handle it from here. I'm going to sleep. Praise God. David said, God, I want you to hear me because I cry unto you daily. I want you to be merciful. David feels like there's some premium upon crying unto God on a daily basis. Can you say praise the Lord? I remember old Tim Green, you brought him here to the house of God, Brother Ted. And I wasn't even here. I was off preaching for some Baptist church in the city that night. But he came to revival, got the Holy Ghost, and got baptized on a Friday night in that little red church next door there. I never did get to meet the guy. I never did get to see him. And Monday or Tuesday morning, he walked into the butcher shop at Bruno's and slipped on a piece of ice and fell about 6 feet and hit his head and lost consciousness at the hospital, and at 26 years of age, 3 days filled with the Holy Ghost, went to be with God. I sat in that funeral home by that body in that casket, and I just laughed. I said, I've been fighting devils. I've been going through valleys. I've been living this for years. I've had good days and bad days. And you come in and you get what I'm going to get, and you got it in 3 days. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. I'm telling you, one day, just one regular day at work, one regular day at work, I've walked out onto a steel structure and I've seen the blood of a friend that's gone down, and they brought his work boots and his hard hat to his wife and said he ain't coming home anymore. One day changes everybody's life in that family group or in that community of people that love one another. One day can change everything. David said, I'm praying daily. David said, I need, this is an extension of the idea, I need God. If I need God, the logical extension is I pray daily. In the morning I lift up my voice and say, God, this is the day the Lord has made. God, I want you to lay your hand on it. I want this to be your day. I want your plan at work. I want your will to be completed. I want your desire to be filled here, God. Somebody say praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Praise God. The natural extension of I need God, I'm poor and needy, is I'm praying. If you're not praying, it's because you're arrogant. You think it's because you don't have time. You think it's because you don't have faith. But it's because you think you can handle it. But I'll just tell you, if it hadn't already happened to you, life's going to come knocking on your door. And there'll be a day when you understand you can't handle this on your own. That's not a threat. That's just life. That's just life. When life comes knocking on my door, I want, when the door opens up, I want Jesus to be standing there. Can I help you? Well, I've come to see Sutton. Well, he lives here, but before you can touch him, you got to come through me. Well, I've come to do business with your kid. Well, before you touch him, you got to deal with me. You see, he and I have been talking about this together. He and I have been in close touch. We're just like that. Praise God. I don't want distance. I want to be close to him. I don't want to hide from God. I want God in the middle of my business. I want him there. Oh, yeah, yeah. You want some distance because you got sin in your life. You want a little distance because you've been backsliding in your heart and you don't want to talk to God because you're ashamed. You need to run to God. You need to get close to God. You need to talk to him today. Come on. Don't be arrogant. Don't be self-assured. Don't fall into a trap. Talk to God today. He hears those that are humble and needy. God takes great delight in picking up the humble and the needy. God takes great pleasure in lifting up those that know they have need of God. It's a great revelation, especially in a society that places so much emphasis on being independent and being able to take care of yourself. In our society, it's difficult sometimes for men to step up before God and say, I am poor and needy, God. I need you, Lord, in my life. Without looking around and hoping nobody's watching you. But Paul struck at the heart of that. You find that in that letter to Timothy. Paul strikes at the heart of the man and the heart of the woman. And distills it down and makes a synopsis of it in a fine point. He said, for the men, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. It's a universal sign of surrender and praise. And he says, that'll take care of you, man. If every day you'll just come before God and say, it ain't me. It's God. I surrender. I'm poor and needy. Paul said it'll do you good. And for the women, he said, don't be caught up in that worldly business of that external ornamentation. All that gold and silver and all that makeup and fluff and that junk that you have, that the world tells you you have to wear, because the world doesn't want you to think that you're worth anything without all that. I'd like to get to see you down below all that glitz and glitter and see if there's a smile there and an eye there. Praise God. Men are insecure about standing out in the middle of life and saying, I love God. And women are insecure about going out the house without their jewelry and their makeup and their frou-frous. And Paul said, forget the frou-frous and the jewelry and the makeup. He said, Peter almost exactly echoes Paul, except he says, let it be that inner adornment of a meek and a quiet spirit. Praise God. Praise God. You don't need artwork to say, look in my eye. You don't need artwork to say, zero in here, big boy. You don't need a big red slash to say, come on, honey. You don't need that. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a beautiful creature made by the hand of God. Don't let Hollywood sell you all that junk. Come on, men, get your hands up and say, I'm poor and needy. I need God every day, every day, every day. Come on, women, step out. You don't need all of that worldly stuff. What you need is a heart that's full of love for God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Oh, come on, let's give him some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I'm not coming in my strength. I'm not coming all made up. I'm not coming as an imposter. I'm coming as I really am. I'm poor and needy. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I can't make it on my own. I don't have what I need. I need God. I need to knock on God's door today. I need to knock on God's. God's not old and God's not forgetful and God's not stupid, but I need to come before God every day. Let me tell you something. He said, I won't forget you. I have written you on the palms of my hands. At Calvary, he wrote your name on his hand. He will not forget you, but you will forget God. Every day you need to come before him and remind your thick human skull, I need God. I need God. Would you just talk to him and tell him that right now? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Every hour, every day, I need you, Lord. This world thinks it can make it with a fine education. The universities don't want to talk about you. The schools want the Bible out of the schools. They want every mention of God off the city square and out of the county property. They don't want you, but God, I want you. God, I need you. God, I need you every hour. I need you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands. Holy Ghost in this house right now. Holy Ghost in this house. You can just go ahead and... Hallelujah. I tell you, church, we need God. We can't do this on our own. It doesn't matter what we build here. It doesn't matter how fine the music is. It doesn't matter how well trained the staff is. It doesn't matter how organized and how planned we get. We need God. Can't do this. Don't want to do this without God. Don't want to come in this church and have church without the Holy Ghost. Don't want to open the book without the anointing. Don't want to sing a song without the presence of God. Don't want to lay my hands on anybody without God standing there to say it's my strength. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to somebody right by you, just one person, and tell them, would you pray for me? I need God to touch my life. Just tell them, pray for me, and do that for them. Somebody's asking you to pray. Lay your hands on them and pray for them right now. Pray God's blessing on your brother. Pray God's blessing on your sister. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Hallelujah. Every hour, every day, I need it. Pray a massive anointing on them. Pray an angelic covering for them. Pray the hedge of God about them. A window of heaven open and a mighty blessing. Hallelujah. The gifts of God, an anointed word in their mouth. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. My God, it affects everything that I do. I said it affects everything that I do. I can't come to the house of God and sit back and be a spectator. I need God. I can't come to the house and let the preacher preach all by himself because I need God. I can't let the altar fill up and stay in my seat. My God, pray for me. I need God. I can't have the singer singing a song and not participate in that. I need God. My need affects everything that I do. It affects my praise. I come to church to get engaged, to get a hold of it, to take part in it, to drink everything I can drink and pour myself out and not take anything home but what God has poured out upon me. I want to spend myself in praise and in worship. I need God. My God, I'm in this house tonight. I'm 32 years in this thing. I'm the preacher in the house, and I need God. I tell you what, I need God more than these snotty-nosed teenage boys need God. I need God more than these little air-headed girls that don't know their head from them. I need God more than you do. And if it's coming down here, it's going to be like a big rebound under a basket. You're going to have to sky up, sister, to get a hold of that blessing because I'm going up for it. You're going to have to beat an old ball-headed man to it. I'm telling you, if there's one blessing in this house, you got no hope because it's going to be mine. If there's two blessings in this house, you might get one. But if there's one prayer going to be answered, it's going to be mine. I'm telling you tonight, I got to get serious about this. I need God. I need God. These children need God. Congress won't stop the perversion. The Senate won't stop the perversion. The city fathers won't stop the sin. They won't protect your babies. They won't protect your young people. You need God more than you know you need God. Ah, God, I need you. Let's step out in the middle of it and get a hold of God. I am poor and needy. I cry to you daily, oh God. I can't get up in the morning without lifting up a prayer to God. I can't go to bed at night without lifting up a prayer to God. I need God. The most rudimentary expression of my felt need for God and the reality of my need for God is the fact that I pray. Luke 18, Jesus said, I would that men would pray and faint not. And then he told the story about the unjust judge and the little widow woman. And he said she just kept coming back. She had a need. She kept coming back. And in that story, the judge was not interested in satisfying the need. But finally, her need pressured him into action. And Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge saith to the widow woman. And he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith upon the earth? Amen. Praise God. Two questions. Do you have faith? Second question, do you have a prayer life? Because if number two is not affirmative, number one is not affirmative. Because the essential act of faith is prayer. Praise God. Building up, Jude said, your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I need God. I need to pray in my understanding. And I need to pray in the Spirit. I got time to pray in my understanding. And you can talk in tongues working in a mill shop. You can talk in tongues driving down the road. It doesn't distract you at all. You can talk in tongues 5 hours a day if you put your mind to it. But that's the problem. Our mind doesn't engage in that kind of activity. Our mind doesn't think. It's never submitted to the Word of God. And so it never gets on board with this idea that we need God. Until the car goes out of control. And then the natural man says, pray! But he's not worried about it unless there's some pressing emergency. Praise God. I love the Holy Ghost I feel in this house tonight. Everybody say, be merciful unto me, O God. For I cry unto you daily. Praise God. Praise God. Prayer moves revival. Prayer is the oil. It is the way that you draw from the wells of salvation, your worship and your praise and your prayer. Praise God. You never know what a day will hold. It's good to cry unto God. David said, I cried to God daily. Praise God. Some say that David prayed 7 times a day. Daniel opened up his windows 3 times a day and cried unto God. Jesus talked about the 10 virgins. 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 were ready when the bridegroom came. None of them knew when he was coming, but some of them were ready and some of them were not. You never know what a day is going to hold. 2 are grinding at the mill. And the day the Lord comes, 2 are working in the field. 1 is taken and the other's left. You never know what a day will hold. Jesus stood over the brow of a hill in Jerusalem and he wept over that city and he said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you unto myself? You would not, he said, look at you. You have missed the hour, the day of your visitation. It came, they hadn't heard from God. It had been so long since they had had a prophet, but they were looking for the Messiah. They thought he was going to come and answer their agenda and run the Romans out of town. They had their ideas about what God would do. And because he came with a little different direction and from an area where they weren't prepared to receive him, they missed him when he came. Praise God. You never know what a day will bring. I just tell you, get up in the morning and brace yourself and say, this is going to be the greatest day of my life. This has the potential of being a day that changes everything. And I don't want to miss it. If God's going to do some fantastic thing in my life today, you got to get this. Half of Israel walked by him and never knew him. On a normal, everyday day, they walked by God in the flesh and they missed him. I want to be looking for him everywhere I go, everything I do in the course of a day. They burned incense every day in the temple. They went in and it was a different priest on a different day. But Zacharias, it was his turn to go in. Israel hadn't heard from God in 400 years from Malachi to the gospel era. They hadn't heard from God. And all during that time, priests had gone in to the sanctuary and offered up incense. And this was just another day. But the Bible gives their character, Elizabeth and Zachariah. They were perfect. They were just. They were righteous. They were good people and they loved God. And the old man was going in there. His wife was barren. They didn't have any kids of their own. Totally devoted to the altar of God. And he's burning incense like he had I don't know how many times, but it was just a chore in the temple like any other chore in the temple. But on that day, everything changed. In one day's time, God can change everything about your life. God can change everything about your house. God can change everything about the course of destiny and revival. In one day, he's there. He's burning the incense, which, by the way, is a type of prayer and praise. He's burning the incense that comes from the fire off the altar of sacrifice. They've got the process right. He's living the thing right. He's doing the process as required of God. And on this particular day, an angel of God appears in that sanctuary with him. It never happened before, but this was a day different from any. I'm telling you, these are the kind of days that we're walking into right now. We're about to walk into biblical days, prophetic days, days of revival, earth shaking, changing days. Praise God. And you never know what one day is going to bring, and you never know exactly how it's going to play out. Zechariah sees an angel standing beside that altar of incense. He's done this I don't know how many times, but today is different. But he's offering up that incense, and that incense is a type of prayer. Sometimes when you pray and you feel like I pray the same prayer every day. Sometimes when you pray and you think I say the same things, and your natural mind will fuss with you. And the devil will get on your shoulder and say, you at least could be creative and think of new things to say. Here you are, you're praying the same old prayers. Yeah, but it's the process. God taught me this process. God showed me this process. I'm coming before God, and this is the process of my life. It works good in everything around me, and it reminds me that I am the people of God. It's a part of the fabric of my relationship with God. Here I am again. I don't have to impress God. I don't have to think of some fancy prayer. I just talk to him like he's a friend. I just light up the same incense every day. But on this day, boom, an angel appeared. Have you ever been in that prayer closet and it's just another day and another time of prayer? But now there's this invasion of the Holy Ghost and something begins to change in your life. My God, I feel Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Praise God. The angel appears and the angel says, you're going to have a son. Your barrenness is about to be taken away. An era of fruitfulness is about to emerge in your life. There's a prophetic word in the house tonight. My God, I think it's for this church. Your barrenness is about to be removed, and fruitfulness is about to take its place. And God was just waiting for that sweet spot in time to bring this thing to pass in your life. And Zechariah can't get on board. He's not quite sure what it's going to be like or how it's going to be. But God said, I'm going to touch Elizabeth, and she's going to bring forth a child, and that child is going to be a prophet, and there won't be anybody like him in all of Israel, and he's going to be the voice of that one crying in the wilderness that says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Praise God. Something's going to come forth from that daily visitation to that altar of incense. It's been the same old thing, the same old incense, the same old routine. And that's what prayer is. It's just the muscle work of living for God. It's getting down in there and doing it again. But today, a revival child is going to be born. Today, revival is going to break loose in Israel. Today, a voice is about to break forth and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Praise God. Lift up your hands just for a moment right now. Just let the Holy Ghost wash over you. Praise God. Praise God. Don't let the background noise of your life dull your spiritual senses so that you can't hear God and that you undervalue the importance of the sweetness of prayer. My God, dig yourself back into a place of prayer. It's time to pray, church. It's time to pray, Daddy. It's time to pray, Mama. It's the expression of, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Praise God. And in the middle of that humdrum prayer, in the middle of that everyday repetitive prayer, God's going to break forth in somebody's life, and God's going to give you a word that's going to change your life. A revival child is ready to be born in this city. My God, a revival child is ready to be born in your life and in your prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Can somebody worship him a little bit here? Praise God. Praise God. Pray. Come on. Do it in my prayer closet, God. Send the word in my prayer time, oh God. Send that revival child of my life, mighty God. I want it. I need it. I need it. I need you. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. If you've got the Holy Ghost here, let that heavenly language, let that river of living water just flow up out of you. Let some of that incense flow up in the presence of God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak it with authority. Let the incense of your spirit flow up before God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. You just received the Holy Ghost this morning. Let that Holy Ghost flow up through your vessel right now. You just received the Holy Ghost this morning. Let that Holy Ghost flow up through your vessel right now. Hallelujah. If your altar of sacrifice has gone out, go outside the sanctuary and fire that thing back up again. Praise God. If your altar of prayer has gotten dusty, come inside that sanctuary and begin to offer up that sweet smelling savor in the presence of God. Once again, I need you, oh God. I cry unto you every day. I cry unto you every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Not everybody in Israel missed the advent. When the Christ came, there was an old man by the name of Simeon, and he was constantly in the temple. He was going up there every time he got a chance. But on this day, the Holy Ghost provoked him to go up to the temple. And it was the day that Mary and Joseph were bringing that revival baby of theirs up into the house. And Simeon, the word of God said the Holy Ghost had told him he would not die until he saw the salvation of Israel. And he came to Mary and said, give me that baby. And he's holding that baby. He said, Lord, now you can take your servant because now my eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. People all up and down the street, people all working in the city, going out on fishing boats, taking care of daily business, but they're not going down to the temple, and they're not talking to God, and they're not in touch with God, because on the day that the baby came, the day the revival baby came, the day that the saving baby came, the new thing that God was going to do that he had just birthed in their midst, they missed it. Because they weren't like Simeon, always at the temple, always in prayer, always talking to the Holy Ghost. He had a line to the Holy Ghost before the New Testament era. He was provoked in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Anna was there, and she was a prophetess. Anna was there, old Anna. And Anna had heard about the same thing from God. And when they walked up, she said, give me that baby. And she's holding that baby. And she's about the same situation. But there's people going to the house of God daily, regularly, praying. And they're sensitive to what God is doing. And they can see it and feel it. And you don't want to miss what God's doing today. You don't want to miss. How many of you need God? Well, you don't want to miss what God's doing. And the only way you're going to know what God's doing, it's just have that active participation in the Holy Ghost and prayer, incense, faithfulness to the temple. They were going up for prayer. Praise God. Miraculous things happen in those old everyday humdrum prayer meetings. Peter and John, Acts 3, on their way to the house of God for prayer. And there's a man that's been sitting there, laid there all of his adult life at the gate, beautiful. He's always, it's just another day of need. But for them, it's another day of prayer. And their days just came together in that third chapter of Acts. And he rattles his cup, and Peter looks at him, and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Before the day was out, all of Jerusalem knew that man was dancing and shouting and running all over the temple. The Pharisees were up in arms because it was shaking Jerusalem. And it was just an ordinary day, going to an ordinary prayer meeting, working the process of God, and God puts the miracle together, brings forth that sweet thing that's on the calendar of God, and you don't know where it's going to fall. But today I need God. Today I need God. I need that revival child. I need that angelic visitation. I need a voice from God. I need God. I need God. Praise God. David said, I need you. And he said, God, hear me and have mercy on me. I cry to you daily. It is the natural projection of David's awareness of his need. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We live in a Christian age that is 10,000 miles wide and about a quarter inch deep for a want of prayer, for a want. Oh, they love the music, and they'll come together, and they rock in the presence of the Lord. But the shallowness is evidenced in their prayer. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not going to keep you a long time tonight. It really looks like we're going to spend the rest of the year in Psalms 86, though. Praise God. Why don't we stand together? Everybody say, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every day, every hour. Come on. Praise God. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 10, he said, I set my face to God. And he prayed and he fasted and he sought God. He said, I'd been knocking on about 3 weeks. And at the end of the 3 weeks, Gabriel, who had appeared to me before at the river, Gabriel came to me and said, Daniel, O man greatly beloved of God, he said, Daniel, we heard you when you first started praying. 21 days ago, we heard you. But he said, when I came, God sent me to you. And when I came, the prince of Persia resisted me. Part of that business of the process and the persistence of prayer is you don't know what's warring against your answer. You don't know what's fighting against that angelic messenger that's bringing it back. The imagery in the book of Revelation chapter 8 is an angel ascending with a censer in his hand, filled up with the prayers of the saints and incense. And there you get the reality and the typology together. And he pours it out on the altar before the throne of God. And then he loads it up with fire and he hurls it down into the earth. And that's one of the most perfect pictures of prayer in the Word of God. It's as effective and powerful as Jacob's ladder and the angels ascending and descending on the ladder of God. You need to get with the program and understand you're not down there all by yourself just talking to God. You're not down there all by yourself and nobody's listening. God hears you the first day you start praying. God hears you and God sees you and God knows your need. But the angel told Daniel, he said, "We heard you when you first started. I came, but the prince of Persia resisted me." Prince of Persia is a fallen angel, probably of equal strength, an archangel like Gabriel. He withstood him. He said, "But after the 21st day, Michael came and helped me." Another archangel. Let me tell you something. When the dragon fell, when Lucifer fell, the Word of God said he took a third of the stars of the heavens. Most theologians believe he took a third of the angels down with him. And I'm horrified at the prospect that a third of those that used to be praising around the throne of God, now they're demonic spirits and now they're down here to do evil. But in the middle of all that, I've got exciting news. Two-thirds of the angels didn't fall. And for everyone that resists my prayer, there's another one that can come and help my helping ministering spirit. My God, there's more that are with us than those that are against us. But you gotta lift up your eyes to see that. You can't stop praying on day one. You can't stop praying on day three. You can't stop seeking God on the first week. But God's looking for somebody that'll come back to that altar of incense and continually lay down that fine, sweet aroma of prayer. Somebody say, "I need God." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm going to be knocking on God's door every day." Come on. Anybody been praying and you feel that hell is hindering your prayer? Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep praying. You never know how close you are to the miracle. You never know on what day the angelic visitation is coming. You never know when God's going to give birth to that revival, baby. Oh, let's clap our hands into him. Hey, hey, come on, lift up some praise. Hey, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. For you, if you need the Holy Ghost, this altar's open right now. For you, if you want to come and say, "God, I'm on your side and I need you and I want the whole world to know I have a need of God," you come on down to this altar right now. For those of you that just want to come and say, "God, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere," if you're first down here, step on up a couple of steps. Make room.
Praise Him.
Hey, hey.
Praise Him.
When you get here, lay your hand on somebody.
Jesus.
Join together and pray.
Let this Savior, He's worthy to
come as individuals. Come as families.
Praise Him.
Praise Him.
Praise Him.
If you want the Holy Ghost, just lift up your hands and begin to praise Him. Church, look around. Those around you that need God tonight. Somebody lay your hands on someone that needs God.
Hey,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Jesus.
Jesus.
He's worthy to be praised.
church. Let the Holy Ghost flow through you. There's no telling what somebody will receive in this altar tonight. Come on, do the work of the church.
Hey.
Come on, no spectators. Everybody.